It's probably one of the most familiar stories in the Bible. Probably most people, once you start the story, in your own words, you could continue it and finish it. It's what we call parable. And Jesus used parables quite a bit. And he used them basically to teach a lesson. Because sometimes in stories, which are kind of, you're not pointing to anyone in particular, you can kind of say things that you couldn't if you're talking directly to somebody. So like the scribes and the Pharisees were criticizing him because he was associating with sinners, with tax collectors, you know, and they thought that was the lowest of the low. And so Jesus, without attacking them in return, told them this story. And it's a story about three distinct characters. And I guess what Jesus expected them to do is kind of see how they fit into this story. And that's probably what he really means for us to do also. How do we fit in this story? So you have the two sons and you have the father. The young son goes to his father demanding his share of his inheritance. No kid has a right to demand any inheritance from their parents. No kid has that right. It's a gift the parents may choose to leave to their son. But he demanded his right, his share. And so the father, being a gracious man, willingly gave it to him. And usually in those days, the eldest son would get 2/3 of everything the father had when he died, and the other son would get what was left. So he got 1/3 of his father's estate. So immediately, perhaps he was a rebellious young fellow, we don't know. We really don't know. That part of the story is kind of missing. You have to kind of fill in your own details, I guess. And so that part of the story is missing, but maybe he was a rebellious sort. Maybe he and his brother didn't get along. Maybe he didn't like his father's restrictions. Maybe he got hooked up with some friends that were really not a good influence on him. We don't know. But anyway, he says the story is that he went off to a faraway place, totally disconnected from his family, the community that he grew up in, the people that he knew. He totally separated himself from them. He went off to this far land and he blew it. Every cent he had, he blew. He ate and drank through parties. He had all kinds of friends who associated with him. And as long as the money lasted, so did his friends. And all of a sudden, he's broke. He has absolutely nothing to show for the inheritance his father worked hard to earn and that he handed on to him. Absolutely nothing to show. And then the story goes on to say, make it even worse, that where he was staying in that part of wherever that faraway land was, it was struck with a severe famine. And so food was very scarce, jobs were very scarce, but he managed to get a job feeding pigs. Well, remember, for the Jewish people, that is unclean food. And so the fact that he would even accept that job showed his absolute desperation, and that he was willing to do even that so that he might get something to eat or earn enough to get something to eat. I mean, that, as far as the Jewish people were concerned, that was the lowest of the low jobs in all the world, to feed pigs, because they considered that so unclean. So one day, here's his son, he's sitting and feeding these pigs, watching what they eat. And the pods that they were eating, he was yearning for something like that. Just give me something to eat. I guess if you're really hungry, you would eat anything. And so he was even thinking, if somebody would just give me some of that stuff. And then all of a sudden he began to reflect. And he came from probably a comfortable home where his father was a very kind man, where he had servants, several servants. They had animals, they had land, they had all this kind of stuff. He started thinking what an idiot he really was. What a fool he was. That he took what his father had given to him and just blew it. And now he had absolutely nothing. He had nowhere to go. Nobody wanted him around because he couldn't have any parties anymore. So they didn't want him around. They were not friends. They didn't care about him. Just the fun that he could have. And he paid for it. So as he's sitting there, he's thinking to himself, maybe I should just go home. A tough decision for him to make after he rejected everything that his father had given to him and taught him. All the values, all the principles, he threw them all out the window. But he decided rather than starve to death, it would be better for him to find his way home. And so he began to say, okay, what am I going to do when I get there? What am I going to tell my father? How do I explain myself? How am I going to excuse myself? How am I going to cover his embarrassment, the way I wasted my life, the way I threw away his money? How am I going to explain all this? So he said, he just kind of made up his mind, well, I'm going to say to my father, I'm sorry. I sinned against you and God. Treat me like a slave. Treat me like one of your hired people. So that was his conclusion. He comes home. Now we meet the father. And the father is not one of these people who sits in his house praying and saying, well, maybe one day he will come back. I'm sure he prayed. I'm sure he prayed a lot for his son. Wondering why he had to go, where did he go, what did he do, who did he know, who's taking care of him, who's watching over him, who are his companions, does he have any friends, what about his faith, is anybody helping to nurture that? So he's probably thinking thoughts like that. And what would he do? Every day that father would go out and he would look in the distance at his son left. He would walk out there and just look and wonder what happened to his son. And so when he finally shows up, in the distance, the father, this old man, runs to greet his son. His son hardly got the words out of his mouth, Father, I'm sorry I sinned against God and against... He hardly got those words out of his mouth. His father grabbed him, embraced him, kissed him. He didn't care how dirty he was. He didn't care the fact that he'd been associated with pigs. He didn't care any of that stuff. He grabbed his son, embraced him, hugged him, kissed him, called for the servants to bring him clean robes, put a ring on his finger so that, once again, he belonged somewhere, a symbol that he belonged somewhere, put shoes on his feet, and we're going to have a big party. We're going to have a feast because my son is alive. He's back. Third character is the older son. He's out working this land that his father will bequeath to him. And he comes in, and what's the music? What's the noise? I'm sure the servant, when he said, well, your dad's got your son back, and he's very pleased, he's throwing a big party. I'm sure he's very sarcastic about the whole thing. Your brother's back. Big deal. So the son, the other son, the older son, very angry. He should not have accepted him. He deserves what he did. He deserves the consequences of what he did. He doesn't belong here. I don't want him around. Everything. It was like everything about the older brother was hate. Unforgiveness. Revenge. He deserves what he asked for. Get him out of here, you know. And then when his father comes out to him. Again, the father, the figure, running after his younger son, coming out to talk to his older son. It's the father who's making the effort. He comes out and tries to talk to him, tries to talk sense to him. Then he starts berating his father, showing disrespect to him. We don't know how the story ends. But we look into our own lives. Where do I fit? One of those characters in that story is me. Probably most of us could identify with the sinner, the young man who is kind of wild sometimes. We probably could better identify with them than we could with the older one, although some people are very resentful when people change their lives. I had a friend one time many years ago. He was a severe alcoholic. And I knew him well. He was a member of our parish where I was working in. And he had a large family, a very responsible job, but he was drinking himself to death. And so we eventually helped him to get into a rehab program, which helped him tremendously. And he followed up with AA, with the Alcoholics Anonymous, for the rest of his life. And he would go to meetings sometimes twice a day because he was so committed to ending this curse in his life, which you never end, but you manage with God's help. One part of their healing process, I guess after they're into the program pretty far, one part of the process is that they have to go to all of the people, they have to identify all of the people that they hurt by their drinking, by their behavior. And then they have to go to each one of those and ask for forgiveness, acknowledge their guilt, acknowledge their hurt, what they did, and just ask for forgiveness. So he came to tell me his story because he thought I was one of the people that he had hurt because he didn't pay attention to what I was saying to him. So he came back with that, and it was extremely moving, how this man was kind of like that kid who took everything he had and blew it. He had a nice family, he had a good job, he eventually blew everything. But he was able to come back, and after many, many years, he got around to all of the people that he could identify, that he knew that he in some way hurt, and asked forgiveness. He said most of them would forgive him, but some would not. So where are we in this story? As I mentioned, probably most of us can identify with the young son because we're all sinners in some way, shape, or form. And all God is asking of us, God, the Father represents God, that kind and merciful man who won't do anything bad to anybody, who is always reaching out, how can I help? How can I show you? Even though it's contrary to all the rules of the game, God says, I love you. I extend my mercy and forgiveness to you. He said, all I ask of you is like that son, acknowledge the fact that I am a sinner. And then go to the Father and say, Father, I have sinned against you. And like the kid in the story, the Father will embrace us with his mercy. He said, that's what I want you to do for one another.